Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, we read this: "Pray to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you important secrets you've never heard before." In Matthew 26 and verse 41, "Watch and pray. Then you won't fall into sin when you're tempted. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done." In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, "Be joyful in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant. Be faithful in prayer." Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, continually, never stop, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." The command of Scripture is for sure most abundantly clear. As Christians, as God's people, we are to pray. We're to be a people of prayer, praying about everything, praying all the time, consistently, constantly, without ceasing. We are to pray and never stop praying. We are to be a people of prayer and never stop being a people of prayer. One says this: "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." The attack against Christianity today, it's the compromise of it. And this isn't just a cultural kind of thing, an out there kind of thing, outside the church, out in the world. The attack against Christianity, the attack against the Bible, the attack against God's truth, God's absolute unchanging truth, the attack against the way of salvation, the attack against the transformation that comes by way of salvation, the attack even against God and His own Son, Jesus. Would that it was just that, a cultural thing, a worldly thing. It's not. It's an in-the-church thing, within the very walls of God's house, as it were. The attack against Christianity, the compromise of it, the attack against the Bible, God's truth. I shared this with you at the very beginning of our series, way back in January. A number of years ago, George Barna conducted a survey on a biblical worldview. For the purposes of the research, a biblical worldview was defined as believing that absolute moral truths exist, that such truth is defined by the Bible. And with that, firm belief in six specific religious views. Those views were that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, God's the all-powerful and all-knowing creator of the universe, and He still rules it today. Salvation is a gift from God that cannot be earned. Satan is real. A Christian has a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with other people, and the Bible is accurate in all of its teachings. Just that. The survey discovered that only 9% of born-again Christians have such a perspective on life. Do you understand? Not anything weird, vague, or unknown, extensively debated. Just this: absolute truth exists, defined in the Bible. Jesus lived a sinless life. God's the creator. Salvation's a gift by faith alone, through grace. Satan's real. We need to be a people that tell people about Jesus. And the Bible is true and right in all its teaching. Just that. Only 9% of Christians who claim to be born again, only 9% said yes to all of those things. From the church then to its leadership, only 47% of pastors have a biblical worldview regarding family and the value of life. Do you understand? That's marriage. That sanctity of life. Only 47% of pastors believe what the Bible says. Only 44% concerning issues related to God, creation, and history. Only 43% a biblical worldview in relation to personal faith practices. Only 43% when it comes to matters of sin, salvation, and one's relationship with God. Only 43% of pastors agree with the Bible on sin. What sin is, only 43% on salvation. Only 43% of pastors agree with what God says about how one has and how one lives in relationship with God. Only 43%. Only 40% pertaining to human character and human nature. Only 40% when it comes to measures of lifestyle, personal behavior, personal relationships. The more general conclusion among senior pastors, 41% have a biblical worldview. Again, do you understand? Absolute moral truth exists, defined in the Bible. Jesus lived a sinless life. God's the creator. Salvation is a gift. Satan is real. We need to tell people about Jesus, and the Bible is true and right in all its teaching. Just that. And only 41% of pastors, only 41% of the men and women that stand behind a pulpit each and every Sunday to declare to their people, thus says the Lord, only 41% of them would say yes to all those things. Only 41% of them have a biblical worldview. 28% of associate pastors, 13% of teaching pastors, 12% of children and youth pastors. Do you understand the attack, the compromise, not just from without, but from within as well? Jesus was clear. The world hated him. They're going to hate his disciples. Let me say it this way. There will always be the attack from out there. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen, you can't be getting your Christianity info from out there. How you're to live, how you're not to live, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you ought to believe, what you ought not to believe. Listen, you can't get that from the world, from culture, from social media, from the news, from Hollywood, from the Discovery Channel and all the supposed religious experts. You can't do that. Listen, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the world does. You have to understand, my brother, my sister, listen, understand the Bible is the truth. Whether it be the world or even just you, if there's disagreement with the Bible, the world is wrong. Listen, you are wrong. The Bible is right. The Bible is the truth. Our source, our only source for truth. The attack against Christianity, the compromise of it from out there. This is how we fight that. We hold to the word, what the Bible says. The attack from out there, that will always be. That's to be expected. The question, but what's happened to us in here? The attack, the compromise, only 9% of Christians, only 41% of pastors. I was thinking of the numbers flipped. What if it was 91% of Christians that did have a biblical worldview, only 9% that didn't? The truth, I still think we'd think that to be a problem. We'd still be shocked. 1 in 10 Christians that don't believe the Bible? What if it was 59% of pastors that did have a biblical worldview, only 41% that didn't? In fact, that doesn't really change our feeling at all, does it? It's still a problem, still a huge problem. 41% that have been given the charge of preaching the word, but that don't believe the word, and subsequently don't preach the truth of it. A huge problem for sure. The numbers flipped would be better, but no less a problem. How great then the problem when they are what they are? Only 9% of Christians, only 41% of pastors that say yes to what the Bible says. What's happened to us? the attack is supposed to come from outside the church, not inside. What's happened to us? What's happened to the church? Can I propose an answer? Maybe the answer. What's happened? We've lost prayer. And in losing that, we've lost the fight. Really, better to say, we didn't fight at all. We surrendered to the compromise. Listen, without prayer, the truth is severely compromised at best, utterly lost at worst. We read it in Jeremiah, without prayer, we lose revelation. Jesus said in Matthew, without prayer, we lose the fight with temptation and sin. The command in Acts chapter 1 was to wait for the gift of the Father, to wait in prayer, so the disciples would then be endued with power from on high. Listen, without prayer, we lose the power. Psalm 22 and verse 26, they who seek the Lord will praise Him. Listen, without prayer, we lose praise. Do you recognize that problem in the church? Praise and worship have become a spectator sport, nothing more than a concert. You and I, we sit, we stand at our pew, and we watch the people up front. We watch them praise. We watch them worship. Listen, Psalm 22, that only happens for lack of prayer. When you pray right, listen, my brother, my sister, when you pray right, you won't need the right song. When you pray right, you won't need the right worship leader, with all due respect to their ability and their talent. When you pray right, it won't matter the worship team, not at all. When you pray right, you will praise right. According to James, to have wisdom, we only have to ask for it. That's prayer. Do you understand then? Without prayer, we lack wisdom. We lack understanding. We're confused. Our life is chaos and disorder. Everything wrong, everything falling apart, everything a mess for lack of prayer. We read it just a moment ago from Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. According to reports, we are living in an age of mental health crisis. We are the most medicated society in history. Of course we are. We've lost prayer. And without prayer, we lose peace. The peace of God guarding our hearts and our minds. Listen, the message this morning, no doubt clear enough already. We fight the attack. We fight the compromise. And we become, again, the people of prayer Scripture has commanded us to be. We pray all the time about everything. We pray and we pray and we pray and we never stop praying. Let me share with you just a few things this morning. The first is this. We'll call it the invitation. The invitation this morning. God invites us. God invites you. God invites me to a place of prayer. It's not really the message this morning. Ultimately, that invitation, though, is an invitation to meet with Him. We can't miss that. We can't neglect that. Maybe we would say the most important part of prayer, meeting with the Lord, communion with the Lord, fellowship with the Lord, a nearness to the Lord, an intimacy with Him. Listen, you are invited. Like a friend would, he calls you up. The Lord Himself texts you, messages you, hey, let's get together and talk. Let's get together. I want to hear what's going on. I want to share with you what's going on. He's extended to you an invitation to meet with Him, to connect with Him, to commune and fellowship with Him, with the God of heaven and earth, with your God. Can you imagine it? Can you believe it? The Almighty, all-powerful God, He blocks out a place on His calendar for you. And you know it. It's better than that. You don't have a place on the calendar. You have the whole thing. He always wants to meet with you. He always wants to be with you. All of us would understand relationships are diminished when connection is lost. It's true, we go through seasons of life, we transition from one season to the other, and in that we can lose connection because of the change. That season, those people that were in it, were not there anymore. The connection with them isn't like it was. Relationship with them becomes less than it was. Listen, that might happen with people just because of where we're at in our lives. It cannot happen with God, no matter anything going on in our lives. We must, listen, my brother, my sister, we must keep our appointment with Him. We must uncompromisingly, unwaveringly commit ourselves to time spent with Jesus in prayer. This is what we say, what you've heard, good for us, important for us, that we not just seek the hand of God, but that we seek the face of God. We're not just praying for the sole purpose of asking, always asking for more and more and more. No, not just that, not just His hand. No, no way, because we recognize what we really need is connection with Him, communion, fellowship, relationship with Him. So we seek His face. We seek Him, who He is, not just what He can do for us. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus calls Peter to come and follow Him, to be a fisher of men. My Bible includes this note with that calling. Simon was called to serve as a fisher of people. The work of God in Simon Peter's life did not take place in one day. His journey to become a full-fledged minister of the gospel extended over several years and involved many encounters with the Messiah. This is true of all of God's servants. The more time they spend with the Master, the more they will become like Him. This is the invitation of prayer, to meet with Him, to encounter Him, so that we might be like Him, so that we might obey the Father like Jesus obeyed the Father, so that we might love people and treat people like Jesus loved and treated people, so that we might minister and destroy the works of the devil power, just like Jesus ministered and destroyed the works of the devil power. There's another element of prayer, of meeting with the Lord. There's another aspect of this invitation. It's this. It's asking of Him in prayer. It might be the lesser of the two things. And really, truth be told, I'm not really sure that's the right way to say that. There's nothing less or lesser about prayer. Maybe better to say it this way. In prayer, first, we meet with Him. And then, after we've done that, second, then, we ask of Him. It's really this that's going to be our focus this morning. We'll not neglect the invitation to seek His face. But this morning, our message brings us to the invitation from Him to experience His hand at work in our lives. 1 Kings chapter 3, it's the invitation from the Lord extended to Solomon. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, listen now to the invitation from the Lord. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Mark chapter 10, it's the invitation from the Lord extended to a blind man named Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and His disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet. He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they did. Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Here it is, the invitation from the Lord. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The invitation to ask of Him. Solomon, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Bartimaeus, ask for whatever you want me to do for you. Listen, the message this morning, this is a reminder of Scripture for you and for me today, my brother, my sister. The invitation to Solomon, the invitation to blind Bartimaeus is the invitation extended to you and to me. Listen, New Life, the invitation of prayer, ask for whatever you want Him to give to you. ask for whatever you want him to do for you. In Hebrews chapter 4, Jesus, the Son of God, he's our great high priest who's gone to heaven itself to help us. Therefore, let us never stop trusting him. This high priest of ours understands our weakness since he had the same temptations we do, though he never once gave way to them in sin. So let us come boldly to the very throne of God and stay there to receive his mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. Do you hear the invitation? Listen, you don't need a special occasion. You don't even need an appointment. You don't need to wait on God for him to make room for you on his calendar. You don't need to wait until God is available and has time for you. He's always available. He always has time for you. You don't even need to knock. You come boldly to his throne to ask for the help you need. You march right up to God himself, the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and you let your request be made known to him. You don't need someone. You don't need to wait for someone to go to God on your behalf. You are welcome there in his presence and audience with him. You don't need to limit your request, not by category nor by count. Listen, from God's perspective, there's no big thing versus little thing. No pushing you away, no restricting you. You can't ask for that. That's so petty, so small, so insignificant. No pushing you away, no restricting you. That's too big. Who do you think you are to get such a big request answered? God only does that for the real saints of the church. And everyone knows you're no real saint. Listen, from God's perspective, there's no big thing versus little. There's only this: if it's a need, if it's a desire of your heart, he wants you bringing it to him. If it concerns you, he wants you bringing it to him. Because if it concerns you, it concerns him. And from God's perspective, there's no limit by count. Listen, cry out to him, ask of him a million times. Know that you are still welcome that 1,000,001 time. You never reach your quota in prayer. Can you imagine it? Well, I hear you. I hear your need for help. But unfortunately, you've reached your limit for this month. Like minutes or data on a cell phone plan, you're out. You've asked for everything you can ask for. I can't help you anymore. Your request usage does reset on the first of the month. You'll have to come back then. Can you imagine it? Aren't you glad it's not like that? Listen, do you hear it this morning? The invitation of prayer, the invitation to prayer, an open invitation to ask of him, to make your request known to him, no matter how small, no matter how big, no matter how often. Like Solomon at Gibeon, whatever you want him to give to you. Like the crowds to Bartimaeus, the Spirit of the Lord would say to us today, cheer up. On your feet, my brother, my sister, he's calling you. He's asking you and me this morning, what do you want him to do for you? Oh, don't you understand what an invitation that's been given to us in prayer? Listen, not only do you get an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not only do you get an audience with the Creator of heaven and earth, listen, you get to ask of him whatever you need, whatever you want him to give to you, whatever you want him to do for you. Listen, we'll get to this later, but you understand it needs to be said right now. My brother, my sister, listen, you need to RSVP ASAP to that invitation. You and me, New Life, listen, we need to say yes to the invitation of prayer. Yes, we will pray. First, the invitation. The second thing this morning, we'll call it this, the revelation. In Luke, the angel's announcement to Mary, the power of the Most High is about to overshadow you. She's going to be pregnant with the Messiah. It's impossible, she says. Can't happen. Except for this that the angel reminds her of. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. In Genesis 18, the Lord tells Abraham that he and Sarah are going to have a son. And because Sarah is 90, she does what any 90-year-old woman married to a 100-year-old man would do. She laughs. That's hilarious. hilariously ridiculous. But then she's reprimanded by the Lord. Why do you laugh, Sarah? So you're 90, he's 100. You think your age deters me? You think your age has more influence than my power? To really Abraham and Sarah both, why do you laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? In Jeremiah 32, ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus speaking of salvation, he replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Parallel scriptures in Matthew and Mark include this. All things are possible with God. Think you can't be made well? Listen to me. All things are possible with God. Think that relationship can't be restored? Listen to your pastor this morning. All things are possible with God. Think that addiction, that bondage can't be broken? Listen one more time. All things are possible with God. The revelation this morning, it's a revelation of God. Listen. He is able. A number of years ago, our kids were in the community Christian basketball and cheer league, if you will. Those would always include an award ceremony and a guest speaker. I remember Dan. He was amazing with the basketball. Fun to watch, do all the tricks, all the things he did with the basketball. Sometimes, in fact, with multiple basketballs, amazing. More than that, I remember his story. Dan shared how he and his wife couldn't have a baby. They had tried and tried. It had been years. He probably said how long, I don't remember. They had gone to the fertility doctors, nothing. Always nothing. They remained childless. Dan continued. Everything with the doctors had stopped. There was no fertility plan being followed, not anymore. Almost as if they had given up hope. And Dan stated it then this way, without help from doctors or medicine, his wife became pregnant. And now he and her have a 3-year-old daughter named Sophia. And this is what Dan concluded with, because God is able. Dan finished his story. Sophia is now 3, he said, and in 17 days, we'll celebrate our second daughter, Aaliyah's first birthday. And this is what Dan concluded with, because God is good. Listen, the revelation this morning, it's a revelation of God. Listen, he is able and he is good. In Luke chapter 5, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Still more, the revelation of God this morning. Listen, he is able and he is good. And listen, my brother, my sister, you have to hear it this morning. And he is willing. Psalm 65 and verse 1, praise is due to you, O God. Listen now, the revelation of God. O you who answer prayer. Listen, there's nothing wrong with calling him Father, nothing wrong with Lord, certainly nothing wrong with starting your prayers, simply calling out to Jesus. But can I remind you, can I encourage you, next time you pray, next time you go to asking for God, the thing that you want him to give to you, the thing that you want him to do for you, you maybe want to begin your prayer this way. Oh, you who answer prayer. It's true, he's the creator God. You can call out to him that way. It's true, he's El Shaddai. He's the almighty God. It's true, he's El Elyon. He's the most high God. It's true, he's the wonderful counselor. He's the prince of peace. It's true, he's the sovereign God. He's the God who's omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent. And listen, all of that so incredibly wonderful, but this may be the most wonderful of all. He's the God who answers prayer. Solomon, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave him what he asked for. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Blind Bartimaeus asked that Jesus would heal him, give him his sight, and God gave to him what he asked for. Genesis 25, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. In Deuteronomy 26, then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. 1 Samuel 7, when the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was still sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. 1 Chronicles chapter 1, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God gave to him what he prayed for. In Psalm 34, this poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. In 2 Kings 19, Hezekiah prayed for deliverance and God provided it. Sent an angel and killed 185,000 of the Assyrian army. In 2 Kings 20, Hezekiah prayed for healing and God extended his life. In Acts 12, the church prayed for Peter's release from prison. God heard and God answered. God did for the church. God gave to the church the very thing they asked him for. Peter, led by an angel, walked out of that prison cell a free man. One says this, "Our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference." Listen, let me share with you the revelation this morning. Your God, the God that you pray to, the God that hears your prayer, he is able and he is good. He is willing. Yes, he is. And listen now, and that God who is able and who is good and who is willing, he is the God who answers prayer. Hallelujah. Listen, don't miss it this morning. The invitation to meet with God, to ask of him, and the revelation. You meet with him, you ask of him, and he answers you. You ask for whatever you want him to give you. You ask for whatever you want him to do for you. You ask and he answers. Matthew 21, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. In Mark 11, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, "Go throw yourself in the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. John 14 and verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. John 15, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. You did not choose me, Jesus says in verse 16, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Verse 23, one more time, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Listen, he will deliver you. He will strengthen you. He will sustain you. He will see you through. He'll carry you through. He'll provide for you. He'll heal you. He'll help you. He'll meet your need. He'll defeat your enemies and give you the victory. The Lord will save you from the trouble, deliver you from all your fears. Listen, you will ask and he will make a way where there is no way for you. He will break the chains of bondage that would imprison you. He would set you free to live in victory. He will do the miraculous for you. You will ask. He will redeem your life from the pit. and crown you with love and compassion and satisfy your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You will rightly respond to his invitation to enter into his presence and to ask of him. You will ask for help and he will answer. He will give you his help, his manna from heaven, water from the rock, help. His make five loaves and two fish feed 5,000 with 12 baskets left over, help. His make a way in the sea and through the wilderness, help. His angelic Assyrian army annihilating, help. His chain loosening, bondage breaking, prison door opening, help. His blessing, territory enlarging, keep you from harm and free from pain, help. His blind eye opening, help. His wisdom giving, help. His comforting, help. His guiding, help. His delivering, help. His shut the mouths of the lion, help. His walk with you in the fire, so you nor nothing on you is burned up by it, help. So my brother, my sister, the invitation and prayer you ask of him, and the revelation by way of prayer God gives to you and to me what we pray for. Listen, more of this is next, but you understand, it needs to be said right now. Listen, my brother, my sister, an invitation to meet with, to ask of your God who is able, your God who is good, your God who is willing, your God who answers prayer. Listen, you know it. You need to RSVP, ASAP to this invitation. You and me, listen, New Life, we need to say yes to the invitation of prayer. Yes, we will pray. Listen, and yes, we will receive what we've asked for in prayer. Lastly, this morning, we'll call this the application. If the invitation is to ask of him whatever we want him to give to us, whatever we want him to do for us, and with that invitation, there's also the revelation he will give to you, he will give to me, the thing that we pray for. He's the God who answers prayer. Then the application is for sure clear. This is what we do. This is how we rightly respond to the Lord's word today. We ask. We accept the invitation. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. One says this, how sad it is to have a God that answers prayer, but a people that don't ask. So the problem is not with God. God has clearly extended the invitation. Scripture has clearly revealed. He answers. What do you need? What do you want him to give to you? The Lord says he'll give it. He'll give you the help. He'll give you the healing. He'll give you the provision. What do you want him to do for you? He'll do it. How amazing that. How shameful then our neglect of prayer in light of that. The problem is not with God. The problem is that people don't pray. I don't pray like I should. I don't ask of God like I should. No matter the warning of James, no matter my understanding of it, my ability to recite it, you have not because you ask not, still I ask not. And for that, there's no other way to say it. My life is deprived of the good things God would give to me, the good things God would do for me, and God would do in me, and God would do through me, as I would rightly respond to his invitation and go to him in prayer. My life is deprived. I have not, I am not, because I ask not. One pastor says it this way, we're all self-impoverished. Impoverished of miracles, impoverished of blessing, impoverished of deliverance, impoverished of salvation, impoverished of revival for lack of prayer because of our rejection of the invitation rather than our acceptance of it. We're self-impoverished. It's interesting to note in the sales world, you know this, you look for this, the rebate. Might interest you to know. Only 18% of people ever claim their rebate. One says this in regards to that. I'm not even sure 18% of Christians are fully cashing in on the name of God, O you who answer prayer. One other, the greatest tragedy in life, it's not unanswered prayer, but rather unoffered prayer. So my brother, my sister, New Life, let us decide today, let us commit today, we'll leave no prayer unoffered. Don't neglect the invitation. Don't miss the importance of the invitation. Enter boldly into his throne room. Boldly and often pray, ask of him. Listen, you do that. Matthew 6, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, but when you pray, you go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You hear it, obviously you hear it. It's all you and it's all your. It's not pastor pray. It's not church pray. It's not they and them pray. It's you pray. You ask. And listen, when you do, your Father sees that. He hears that. He rewards that. One says this, the word reward is a payment term, a salary for a task or job you perform. It's like clocking in for work. In other words, God's saying, when you pray, I see it and it always pays off. You pray. In fact, according to the instruction of Jesus and the example of Bartimaeus, really better to say it this way, you pray and you keep praying. You ask and you keep asking. Matthew 7, keep on asking and you'll receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I love this of Bartimaeus when he heard that it was Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen, for some of you, the frustration of seeking without receiving, it's for real. I don't make light of it, but you need to hear me today. Rather than silence you, which the frustration so often can do, rather than that, let it make you shout all the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, this is what I want you to do. This is what I need you to do for me. Ask and keep asking. Be relentless in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Never give up. Never stop praying. The story is told of a man caught up in the gold rush fever, rewarded with the discovery of gold, the real gold mine. Kept digging and doing well. Suddenly the gold simply disappeared. He decided to quit. He was done. He sold his mine. He sold his equipment for just a few $100. The new owner hired an engineer to inspect the claim. Don't stop digging. The new owner didn't stop digging. Struck gold, the main vein of gold, just 3 feet away from where the old man had stopped digging. Listen, my brother, my sister, don't stop asking. Don't stop praying. Don't stop 3 feet short of your miracle. Don't get distracted. One says this, our greatest fear should not be a failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. In 1 Kings 20, the prophet comes to the king. It's a sort of illustration. The king had neglected his duty. Message of judgment awaited him. As the king passed by, the prophet called out to him, your servant went into the thick of the battle, and someone came to me with a captive and said, guard this man. If he's missing, it will be your life for his life, or you must pay a talent of silver. Listen, while your servant was busy here and there, the man disappeared. That's your sentence, the king of Israel said. You have pronounced it yourself. While busy here and there. He can't even name what it was. While busy here and there, he lost it. One says this, likewise, how much of what we're supposed to be doing gets neglected for the sake of the busy here and there things. Things we can't even remember. He says this, all too often, we confuse motion with progress, busyness with productivity. The great Christian psychologist, Dr. James Dobson, explained it this way. If Satan can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And that's just about the same thing. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon concludes that all is vanity. In the Hebrew language, the word for vanity was a word picture of a bucket put in a well and brought up with nothing in it. That's the busy here and there stuff. All the toil, all the strain that results in nothing. An empty bucket. But do you understand? You remember back to Matthew. But when you pray, your Father, He sees that and He rewards that. Listen, when you pray, your bucket doesn't come up empty. So my brother, my sister, be careful of losing sight of prayer. Be careful of the distractions. Be careful of the empty bucket stuff that will consume you and your time, leaving you with no time for prayer. Listen, it may be a length of time before you get from Jesus what you want from Him. Don't get distracted. Don't get bogged down by the doesn't really matter stuff. Don't get too busy with the here and there stuff. Too busy, so busy that you miss the invitation. Pray, ask of Him. All the time asking of Him. Jesus, this is what I need you to do for me. Jesus, this is what I need you to give to me. Don't get distracted. Don't give up. Just because He hasn't given it to you yet, just because He hasn't done it for you yet, doesn't mean He's not going to. Don't give up. Others may try to silence you. Don't give up. Shout all the louder, Jesus, this is what I want. Jesus, this is what I need you to do. The devil may try to discourage you. Don't give up. Don't stop asking. Pray, ask. Keep on asking in faith, believing for the big thing. One says, bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dream or boldest prayer. He's offended by anything less. Listen, if your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God. Why? Because they don't require divine intervention. Another says it this way, most Christians expect little from God, ask little, and therefore receive little, and ultimately become content with little. Pray, ask, keep on asking, in faith believing, for the big thing, for the impossible thing. Ask God to heal you. Take up that fight again in prayer. Maybe you used to pray. Maybe there was a time you believed God, but He didn't do it. Not like you thought He should or would. He didn't do it like you asked. Maybe that prayer has diminished, been silenced. Listen, I believe it. The word of the Lord this morning. Cheer up. My brother, my sister, He's calling you, inviting you today. What do you want Him to do for you? Listen, ask Him. Ask Him again to heal you. Pray for the deliverance. That thing that has held you in bondage, lust, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, greed. Again, maybe you once prayed for that thing. Ask the Lord for help. Ask Him to give you the victory. But maybe you've given up that fight of prayer. Resign yourself to the constant battle and the constant struggle. Listen, ask the Lord to help you. He invites you this morning to ask of Him. And listen, don't forget it. Remember it this morning. He is able. And He's good. And He's willing. And He's the God who answers prayer. Ask the Lord to provide for you. Pray for the financial miracle. Pray for the job. Pray for the new job. Pray for the open door. Pray for God's favor. Pray for the opportunity to do something for Jesus. Can I remind you, that's the stuff that lasts for eternity. That's not the empty bucket stuff. You know this, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Ask the Lord to help you, empower you, give you the opportunity to do something for Him, for His kingdom. Pray for the thing that will last. Pray for the thing that will result in eternal reward. Pray for more boldness to invite people here to share your testimony, more boldness to be a better witness of Jesus and His saving grace, more boldness to lead more people to Jesus. Pray for more boldness to lay your hands on the sick and see them be made whole. Pray for more boldness to speak over the demonized. Freedom in Jesus' name. Pray for the thing that will last, that will result in the eternal. Pray that you'd be more faithful, a better giver, faithful and obedient in the tithe, a better giver to missions. Pray that you prioritize His kingdom above everything else. Listen, so that you might store up for yourself treasure then in heaven. Pray for that. Pray that your life is consumed more and more by the eternal lasting stuff, the stuff that's done for him and for his kingdom. He invites you to pray for that. And listen now, he will answer you. Pray for your own life. It's true, I need to be praying for me, things in my life, my family, more and more. Less relying on people, less a sense of false optimism. Oh, it'll all be okay. No, I need to be diligent. I need to fight the fight of prayer. I need to be faithful in that. I need to be obedient in that. The problem is not with God. The invitation is extended. The answer is promised. The problem is not with him. The problem is with me. I don't pray for Jenny like I should. I don't pray for the kids like I should. I don't pray for our marriage. I don't pray for our family like I should. My brothers, my sister, my dad, extended family, aunts and uncles and cousins. I don't pray that I might not fall into temptation enough. I don't pray for guidance enough. I don't pray for wisdom enough. I don't pray for power enough. I don't pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. I don't pray for a fresh anointing like I should. The problem is not with God. The invitation is extended. The answer is promised. The problem is not with him, it's with me. I don't pray that God fixes the problem that is me. I don't pray that enough. That's got to change. That's got to be different for me. Maybe you sense it for you too. Pray for your own life. Pray for the church. Pray for this church. Listen, can I encourage you, my brother, my sister? What new life needs more than anything else. Listen, more than anything else. It's a brother or sister, in fact, a whole bunch really, that would fight the fight of prayer for this place. Pray for unity here, that love would permeate this family, a maturing of our faith, a steadfastness, a faithfulness, a constant, uncompromising obedience. Pray that the lost would be found here at these altars, that signs and wonders would accompany the preaching of God's word here in this place. Pray for this community. Pray for our nation. Pray for revival. One says this, to desire revival and at the same time neglect prayer is to wish one way and walk another. Fight the fight of prayer for our nation. In Isaiah 64, oh, that you would burst forth from the skies and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. The consuming fire of your glory would burn down the forests and boil the oceans dry. The nations would tremble before you. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. So it was before when you came down, for you did awesome things beyond our highest expectation. And how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no one has seen or heard of such a God as ours, who works for those who wait for him. God rends the heavens. He bursts forth from the skies and comes down. Listen, the mountains will quake. The forests will burn. The oceans dry up because of the consuming fire of his glory. The nations will tremble. The Lord's enemies will learn of his fame. And all the world will recognize there is no God like our God. No God who does miracles so great. No God who works for those who wait on him. What a picture. But then the indictment of Isaiah. Just a couple of verses later. But no one turns to you in prayer. No one goes to you for help. Rend the heavens and come down? No. You have hidden yourself from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Do you understand? The invitation extended to God's people to pray for a nation. Pray that God would rend the heavens and come. Pray that he'd do that, that he would show up in power and in might, scatter his enemies. Let the nation, let all the world know that he and he alone is God. Pray that, and God would do that. He is the God who answers prayer after all. One says this, a rent heaven comes from a praying man. My brother, my sister, for this nation, let's pray. Let's pray that God would come. He will. Let's pray for revival. One says this: in order to see revival in our land and get a nation back on its feet, the church must get on its knees. And this is God's charge for us today. It's God's invitation to us today. New Life, get on your knees. Ask, pray, fight the fight of prayer for this nation, and He'll answer. Revival will come, and we'll witness, we'll watch and see a nation get back up on its feet. We finish part of the application. Can I encourage you, guard against the hindrances to prayer? It's interesting to consider powerful prayer. What is powerful prayer? Nice sounding, eloquent, long, short? No, none of that. Rather, this powerful prayer is answered prayer. In James chapter 5, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The Living Bible says it this way: the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. That's it. That's powerful prayer. That's effective prayer. Prayer that gets stuff done. Prayer that makes things happen. Prayer that changes things. Prayer that reverses things. Prayer that has wonderful results. That's powerful prayer. My thought in that, I want to pray like that. I don't want to be eloquent in prayer. I don't want to be impressive in prayer. I want to be powerful in prayer. I want to be effective. I want wonderful things to happen when I pray. That's answered prayer. Answered prayer is what powerful prayer is all about. Can we go back to the beginning and can we add then this? The invitation is to pray, to ask powerfully. That's the invitation we accept. And in that then, we guard against the thing that would compromise prayer, the thing that would diminish its power, because it's the thing that would prevent God's answer, the thing that would hinder God's answer. Listen, my brother, my sister, be careful of the sin. That's a hindrance to prayer, to powerful, effective, answered prayer. Be careful of praying with the wrong motives. That's a hindrance. Be careful of praying in opposition to His will. That's a hindrance. Listen, you can't ever be effective in prayer. You can't ever be powerful in prayer. You can't ever expect answered prayer until you learn to discern His will, until you learn to submit and surrender to His will. But do that and you'll have whatever you've asked for. Your prayer will have great power and produce most wonderful results. Be careful the lack of faith. Be careful the unbelieving heart. That's a hindrance to prayer. Be careful the weak and feeble prayer and or prayer life. That's a hindrance to prayer. Listen, my brother, my sister, be strong in prayer. Be passionate in prayer. Be forceful. Be energetic and enthusiastic in prayer. Listen, anything less than that, it's a hindrance, and maybe the greatest hindrance referenced throughout the message already. Don't give up in prayer. Don't stop short of the miracle, God giving to you what you ask of Him, God doing for you what you want, what you need for Him to do for you. Don't give up. That's an obvious hindrance to prayer. You have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you gave up a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You declared that thing dead, and you stopped asking God for it. Don't stop asking. Don't give up. Learn what it is to wait in prayer. It's hard in life. It's maybe the hardest thing in all Christianity. Learn what it is to wait. One says this: people often want their prayers answered immediately, but waiting to answer is often part of the way God matures believers in their faith. Daniel had to wait. Jeremiah had to wait. You'll have to wait. Wait well. My brother, my sister, in the waiting, don't stop doing for the Lord. In the waiting, don't stop asking. Don't stop praying to the Lord. This morning, accept the invitation to pray. And when you pray, pray powerfully. Pray the prayer that results in His answer. Let nothing get in the way of that. Rightly deal with all that would hinder the answer. Along with numerous other portions of Scripture, Luke 5, we find Jesus in a solitary place for the purpose of prayer. One says this: Jesus never sacrificed this discipline of prayer in order to meet the never-ending demands of ministry. and it resulted in extraordinary power. Prayer was indispensable to his life and ministry. The author's conclusion: if Jesus needed times of solitude and prayer, how much more do his followers? We need to pray. In Matthew 21 and verse 13, Jesus declares his house will be called the house of prayer. That's true. But you also know this, according to Scripture, you are the temple. You are the church. You are his house. Listen, my brother, my sister, listen. Be a worshiper, yes. Be a studier of the word, yes. Be a proclaimer of the word, for sure. But understand this, your calling is to be a house of prayer. We need to pray. Full disclosure, I'm concerned for this house. I'm concerned for New Life. I'm just not sure we're the house of prayer he's called us to be. And even fuller disclosure, I'm concerned for this house. I'm concerned for Denny. I am most certainly sure that he's not the house of prayer that God's called him to be. So my brother, my sister, you maybe feel the same. Let's change that today. Let's do different. Let's be different. Let's pray. One says this, all that we need is in heaven. And the key that unlocks heaven is prayer. Many people would visit Mother Teresa and her missionaries of charity in Calcutta, India. Many were surprised that at every lunchtime, the sisters would all leave their life-sustaining work with people who were dying and would just disappear for a couple of hours. Some would question them, with so much need, why do you leave? The sisters replied, we go to pray. We learn that to work without prayer is to achieve only what is humanly possible. Our desire is to be involved in divine possibilities. Listen, my brother, my sister, let's be involved in the heaven unlocked things. Let's be involved in the only divinely possible things. Let's pray. The Lord invites us to ask of him whatever we want him to give to us, whatever we want him to do for us. And the invitation comes with the revelation, he's able. He's good, he's willing, and he's the God who answers prayer. And so my brother, my sister, New Life, let's apply what we've heard here today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I ask you this morning, would you help us? Would you help us to be a people of prayer? Would you make this house to be a house of prayer more than it's ever been before? Jesus, I pray for me. Would you make this house, me, to be a house of prayer more than I've ever been before? I'm sorry. Come on, you sense it like I do. Lord, I'm sorry. I don't pray like I should. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. Help me to pray more. Help me to pray better. Help me to be a man of prayer. Come on, you ask the Lord. Jesus, help New Life to be a place of prayer. Brothers and sisters in this room, help us to be a people of prayer. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. Listen, church, I know the hour is late, but you have to understand this morning, we have to pray. We have to pray. I'm sorry for taking too long, but we can't leave before we pray. You know that. So find a place of prayer. I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you in just a minute. I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you before we go. You got to find a place of prayer. Come to the altar this morning. Kneel where you sit. Stand at your pew. Whatever it is, you got to have a few minutes of prayer. We've got to set a marker here in this place this morning. We've got to determine, we've got to decide we're going to be a people of prayer, and we're going to start right now. Listen, we can't be a people of prayer by in the moment of prayer deciding, oh no, we got to rush out of here. We got to get going. The hour's too late. No, we fight that this morning. We fight the fight of prayer, and we say, we will pray. We hear the invitation, the revelation, and now we apply, we pray. Come on, just for a few minutes. You have to pray. You have to pray. Ask the Lord. Come on, my brother. Ask Him to heal you again. My sister, ask Him to heal you. Ask Him to touch your family. Come on, this moment, this is the time. This is the moment, maybe better than any other. Ask Him to save your children, your grandchildren. Ask Him to work in their life. Ask Him to open their eyes and open their ears to hear. I'm asking, would there be a brother, would there be a sister that would intercede for this church? Come on, my brother, my sister. You can't be too busy to pray for this church. You can't be too much in a rush. Really? Is there anything that awaits you in the next few minutes that's more important than this? That in this place, God would save. In this place, God would pour out His Spirit. In this place, God would confirm His Word with signs and wonders. Let me answer for you. There's nothing more important than that. You have to pray. You have to pray. Come on, just for a moment. We ask of You, Jesus. We pray over our marriage. We pray over our children. We pray for this church. We pray for this people. We pray for our brother. We pray for our sister. Come on, pray for your pastor this morning. God, let there be a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. Let there be a fresh anointing to rest on our pastor. We have to pray. You sense it. I know you do. We have to pray. We have to pray. Come on, you can let Him know this. You know this. How about that prayer? Oh, Jesus, I need You. I need You. Jesus, we need You. We need You. Jesus, after a message like this morning, how are we not going to make this place to be a place of prayer? We are. We are. We do it right now. But Lord, I know it. I sense it for my own life. The message this morning, it's not for a few minutes at the conclusion of a Sunday morning service. This is a message for every moment, every hour, every day of our lives. We need this to be a place of prayer each and every Sunday. But as we go from this place, we need our car to be a place of prayer. We need our house to be a place of prayer. We need our work to be a place of prayer. So, Lord, would You help us this morning? That not just we respond rightly in the moment, but we respond rightly to Your Word for our lives. Help us to be a people of prayer, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord this morning as under-shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly? I declare over you the word, the will of the Lord. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you, my brother, my sister. Oh, how wonderful this. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. Don't you want that? The Lord be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you. My brother, make you to be a man of prayer. My sister, make you to be a woman of prayer. New Life, make us to be a house of prayer. The Lord turn to us and help us and give to us His peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you this morning.